Welcome to another edition of Stokes and Folks. I'm your host, Spencer Stokes, and I think a lot of the listeners are going to question why this particular podcast has anything to do with politics, but I would argue that politics are in the movies, and a lot of what governs what we do as a society comes from the movies. And so that's the reason we have our movie critic, Jason Bishop, joining us today, who writes for the UtahPoliticalUnderground.com. And you can go there and see his movie reviews. And he's brought in a fellow movie buff with him today, Chris Hodgson. And see, I actually got your name right and messed up on Bishop. And I don't know why I would do that. Maybe. Yeah, I don't know why I would do that since...
You nailed my first name.
Yeah, I got Jason right. I mean, clearly a scholar of the Book of Mormon. That's why I was able to get that correct. But this is the Academy Award show of Stokes and Folks, and the Academy Awards will be airing on the... April the
25th
at 6 Sunday p.m. Night. 6 p.m. Is that when it starts, Mountain Time? You can watch all the ramp up to it and see. Well, there probably won't be this year because of what do you expect it to look like this year?
I don't know. It'll be weird. They're not going strictly virtual. I wondered if they were. Like the Golden Globes was all virtual and it was really weird. Did you watch that, Chris?
I watched the parts of it, yeah. Some people liked it. Most people thought it was just weird.
They're going to have a few people in the audience, right?
Yeah. Well, they're going to have the actual people. They probably will sprinkle them through and probably social distance as they can. They definitely, it usually happens in February, the Oscars.
Right.
And they bumped it back 2 months to try to anticipate that, but.
They thought maybe the recall of Gavin Newsom would be finished by then and they could get away with packing the theater, but. He didn't. Hasn't done yet.
All the nominees will be there.
Okay.
So they won't do anything virtual.
Okay. And I'm assuming they're going to be in masks, and I would imagine that their masks will be. If I'm going to make a statement as a nominee sitting in the audience, I'm gonna bet some of the masks will have a statement, a political statement on them. What are your guesses?
Oh, that's probably true.
For sure.
Well,
no doubt they're.
They're not going to miss that opportunity.
No, yeah, for sure.
Well, that's what you said, Spencer, about politics and movies. People usually think they're completely different lanes, but movies have been influencing culture and being influenced by culture for the last century.
Since they started talking in movies. Yeah, since they started talking in movies. But I don't want to... I'd kind of like to look at let's just take an overview of some of the movies that are nominated for Best Picture. Give us a rundown. I don't care who wants to do that, but give us a rundown of what movies have been nominated for Best Picture and a little synopsis about what the movie is about.
Okay.
I mean, just jump right in. Anybody that wants to here, you've got the list in front of you.
I do. I have a list in front of me. I will list off the nominees for Best Picture for this year.
I wish we had some really amazing music, but for that. But yeah, go ahead.
We have The Father. Do you want me to tell you a little bit about what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll not just spoil things.
Don't spoil it. I don't want to have this. I don't want to have to issue a spoiler alert at the beginning of the show. But
time codes for everyone. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, The Father is about, I don't really know how to say things without spoiling it, I guess.
Well, I don't think it's spoiling if you just...
If you tell the premise of the movie.
Jason is very sensitive about spoilers.
I am, yeah. I'm a stickler about
it. He will not watch movie trailers.
I won't.
Really?
I try to go in as fresh as possible.
I hate watching movie trailers by and large because I feel like it's the best of the movie. And then when I watch the movie, it's like I should have just stuck with the trailer.
Yeah, especially comedies. They tell you all the funny jokes.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly. Okay. So The Father, give us a synopsis, and if you can't do it, we'll jump in.
Okay. Well, The Father, Anthony Hopkins plays a father, the father, and it's about a drama with him struggling with his daughter, played by Olivia Colman. We also have Judas and the Black Messiah, which is about Fred Hampton. What was that, in the 70s?
I think so. Late 60s.
Yeah. that's starring Daniel Kaluuya and Lakeith Stanfield. I'll apologize in advance of any names I can't pronounce well. We also have...
It's kind of odd that you can't since your name's Jason.
Well, that's why I feel okay. That's why I feel I can get a pass with it.
Okay, all right.
Mank, which is about Herman Mankiewicz. He was the writer of Citizen Kane, the co-writer, and it's about basically him writing Citizen Kane.
You've reviewed Mank in Utah Political Underground, mm-hmm. so people can go take a look at that.
Yeah, it's a very interesting movie. Minari.
You've reviewed Minari as well.
I have as well. That is about an immigrant family in the 80s from South Korea that comes to rural Arkansas and kind of like a small like character drama about them.
And I'm going to go ahead and confess that I have not seen all of these movies, okay. but I have seen Minari.
Oh, okay.
Mainly because of its tie to Utah. The director, writer, I guess, writer and director.
Yeah. Lee Isaac Chung.
Mm-hmm, spent some time at the University of Utah. And I think it's gotten a lot of people all excited about, getting into the film program.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. I've had lots of people talk to me about that. But, okay, keep going.
You know, he almost went to take a position at the U in, is it Seoul? He was going to take a teaching position and decided to go ahead and try making that movie instead.
Wow, and we should be grateful he did the movie because the movie is amazing.
Yeah, that's right. And likely Best Picture winner.
Yeah.
Also, Nomadland,
okay.
which is starring Frances McDormand, about living that lifestyle, like the nomads that go across the country and work these like kind of menial jobs to kind of support this kind of like roaming lifestyle.
And there was a great interview with a couple on KUER, NPR, in Salt Lake about a couple that does that, and they will go to an Amazon facility and work there and then move around, but they do that seasonal job. They drive to the seasonal job and do it and then spend the rest of their time on the road. So I haven't seen that film, but I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
That is interesting. I saw it in IMAX.
Really?
Yeah, that's kind of what it was promoted as, like, go see it in IMAX.
How long ago did you see it in IMAX?
A couple months ago, February.
So, here in Utah?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Oh, yeah. Movies, I think movies are really back in Utah, and they didn't really leave a whole lot like they did in some other states, but, yeah.
Okay, next.
Promising Young Woman, which is starring Carey Mulligan. I don't really know what to say about this without spoiling it.
I mean, they talk about it in the trailer, but it's basically about assault and sexual assault.
Okay, so we
kind of
we
like
have
a revenge
turn,
fantasy movie.
We'll have to turn to Chris because he actually has watched the trailers.
That's all I know. I've only watched the trailers,
and he can give you the synopsis that the trailer will give you, and that won't spoil the movie.
Okay, yeah.
That's
a safe way to go about it. Two more: Sound of Metal, which Chris.
It's about a heavy metal drummer who loses his hearing and kind of his battle to come to terms with that.
And then The Trial of the Chicago 7.
Which this was in 69, 68?
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably know.
This was another movie that I watched. And if I were to, I think it was nominated for Best Film Editing. And I would say that... If I were giving out the award for best film editing, it would get that award. Wow. Because I believe how they moved between the live action current, you know, filmmaking.
Oh, okay.
They put some of the black and white footage in of what actually happened back then that they had, and it was. You almost had to stop yourself and say, oh, wait, that footage is actual footage from the riots in Chicago during the Democrat National Convention. And it was done very well. It was very moving.
Yeah, so that's a great one.
Yeah, that one was really good. I wonder what will happen with that one.
You know, because oftentimes... Back to politics, there's politics in at the Oscars. And so this was
100%.
There's besides the messaging that occurs at the Oscars award show, and besides the messaging that occurs during the filmmaking process, mm-hmm. and then, you know, there is some cultural messaging going on with this particular 90th. This is the 93rd Oscar Awards program. And because the Oscars as an association has snubbed in the past, or not given out as many or had as many opportunities for people of color, of minority ethnic background, they've not kind of had their just dues over the year. And this year it's a record number of people. And I think there'll be some for the voters. I think there'll be some, a little bit of bias in wanting to help further that. Now, all of them outstanding. So it's not like you could say, well, they're giving it to somebody that's undeserving. I don't think that will happen.
Although that does happen. Like, two things of what you said too. I think it's always been a political institution in a way. And it used to be kind of like hit and miss, like Marlon Brando not showing up at the Oscars in 72 for Godfather and having a Native American come and like accept the award for him. But now I feel like actors and actresses almost see like their chance to make a political statement when they go up to accept an award. It's much more prevalent now. But yeah, the narrative of the Oscars is very intertwined with culture and politics, even with like a couple years ago when they had the Oscar So White stuff, when they kind of purged a lot of the Oscar roles and invited in younger and more diverse people into the voting block. But even with like, I think the biggest clash was in 1989 when Driving Miss Daisy won Best Picture and Do the Right Thing by Spike Lee wasn't even nominated for Best Picture. And I think, I don't know. The Oscars is also funny because they make a lot of mistakes. It's hard to evaluate art in real time and say this will be important for generations.
Right.
And so they mess up a lot. It's funny because we keep watching it and like putting importance on it. But in reality, it's just kind of them shooting in the dark. They don't really know what they're doing.
And I have
but
a lot
it's
of,
interesting.
I have a lot of political friends that will not watch
The
Oscars. I would imagine your father would have a hard time staying in his chair based on some of the nomination or some of the speeches, the acceptance speeches.
Of course. Yeah.
And I everybody gets to make a statement. That's their time to shine, whatever they want to say. Trust me, they've given thought to what they're going to say. This isn't like they've just stumbled up to the stage to,
totally.
This isn't like Sunday, the first Sunday of every month in the religious organization I go to, where they just walk up to the pulpit and say whatever happens to come to mind. This is a prepared statement, and they mean what they're saying, and they're saying what they want to be meant. But
And some of them, they've thought about this moment for their entire lives.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can only imagine.
Yeah, they're not really off the cuff.
Yeah, not off the cuff. So now I understand that it's going to be, there will be international locations where people will attend an Oscars, the award program. Have you heard that they're going to be like in France, they're going to have a small audience live watching the Oscars, and other places throughout the United States and the world?
I'd heard a little bit about that, but I don't really know about
it. Well, I don't think they've kind of kept it all very secret.
Uh-huh.
They do say that this is going to be different. It is going to be entertaining. It is going to be interesting to watch. So, and in the time of COVID, that's saying something if you can pull that off.
Yeah. That would be really interesting. This Oscars is going to be really weird. I mean, it's the fourth time ever that it's hasn't been even held in February that they've had to move it. I think it's the first time since like the 1930s when they've even expanded the Oscars to cover more than one year. They've expanded to be like, well, we're going to include two different years, and this like kind of altered the time.
Yeah, because was it canceled last year?
No, it was held last year. It was one of the last things that happened.
The closure.
Yeah, you basically think of the Super Bowl and the Oscars as like something that happened from a different time. But that all happened in 2020, and I went to a bunch of parties.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it was really weird.
Interesting. Okay, so let's go down the I want predictions from both of you.
Okay.
And I want to go down just you know, all the categories, and then I'm going to talk about, we'll save the, let's save the big four till the end, and the big four I refer to as the leading actor, actress, best picture, and best director.
Okay, I can sign off on
that. Okay, you can sign off on that. Yeah. So we'll thank, oh, shoo, yeah, good. And okay, so let's start with the other categories and kind of give me, you know, who's nominated, run through real quick who's nominated, and then what your pick is, Jason and Chris.
How in the, like, you want all every category?
No, I just want, I don't want the ones that are held. I don't want the ones that are held the day before, or the night before, or the week before. You know, if they can't make it to the show, I know they're all important, but if it can't make it to the big show, I don't want to talk about it.
I should mention we're being very scientific about this. We looked at like past awards and how often they, like, because you kind of look back on maybe like the Golden Globes or the BAFTAs, but it's all about the guilds. The guild is what you want to look at. So the writers' guilds, DGA, the SAG, that's screenwriters and directors.
So all the awards that ramp up to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All so right. We're giving you an insider track right now. So
all right.
If
that's
you
good.
Have a voting pool at work or something.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Then maybe Doug Wright could use some of this information when he does his show. Every Friday, because he'll need some cheater notes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're welcome, Doug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Let's do some of these other ones then first, like best visual effects. The nominees.
Maybe I should read the nominees.
Why don't you
and
do that?
You can tell me which one. Okay, so the nominees for best visual effects, Love and Monsters, The Midnight Sky, Mulan, The One and Only Ivan, and Tenant. Those are the five best visual effects movies. And then there's, so let's, because nobody's going to know any of these names of
no,
people
it's
that are
fine,
nominated.
Yeah.
Okay,
they're
all
important
right.
people.
They are important people, and we don't want to.
They're artists.
They're artists.
Yeah.
Okay.
In their field.
Okay.
Yeah.
Chris, who do you think?
Tenant's.
Tenant?
Pretty
it's a lock. It's Tenant.
Okay.
Yeah, Tenet's if it's not Tenant, that'd be really weird.
Wow.
Jason will be very upset.
Wow. I will be. Yeah, I'm a Tenant stan.
That's crazy. Both of you agree on that. Okay, best cinematography. Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, News of the World, No Man's Land, and The Trial of Chicago 7.
I think No Man's Land is going to win this one.
I agree. I could see Mank getting it. Mank has 10 nominations, the most of any film by four.
Okay, really?
But I could see that kind of being this year's The Irishman, if you remember, that also went in hot with 10 nominations and didn't win anything. And I could see them kind of...
Yeah, how embarrassing
is that? Yeah.
Usually...
Poor Irishman.
Come on, Marty.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see them throwing a bone to Mank in this one.
But usually cinematography is just like the movie that's the prettiest.
Okay.
And that's and, No Band Land
But that's like
me.
Part of... Yeah, that's true. But part of Mank's gimmick is the cinematography.
And Chris, thank you for making me say it in a non-Bothwell, Utah fashion. It's No Man's Land, right?
Nomad Land.
Nomad Land.
Yeah. I got to get all of those letters in there. Okay, all right. It's best costume design. Emma, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Mank, Mulan, Pinocchio.
Ma Rainey's.
I agree.
Win.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, we've had no disagreement so far. Why do you think?
It's one. It's just the favorite. I think it's one... A few already.
I think so too. I just think it also has some like heat on it more than like as a movie in general than the other ones.
Okay. All right. Best makeup and hairstyling. Emma, Hillbilly Elegy, which interesting that has makeup that's in this category. Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Mank, and Pinocchio.
I think that's Ma Rainey's again.
I think it. Yeah, I think you're right.
Does that make it to the big show, or did I just break my rule?
What?
The best makeup and hairstyling.
Yep.
All right.
Yeah, these are all the big ones.
All right. Best film editing, The Father, Nomadland, Promising Young Woman, Sound of Metal, The Trial of the Chicago 7.
I think Trial of the Chicago 7, right? I thought that's the one that we...
I think it might be Promising Young Women. Editing. For editing?
I think I've seen both.
Well, I'm going to go with The Trial of the Chicago 7, but if you guys think it's Promising Young Women, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I mean, not like I have any vote here because I'm not an expert. I've seen one year I went to, and I wish we did it more around here. There was a theater in Georgetown, out in DC area that played, you bought the tickets. It was the Academy Award. They showed every nominee for the Best Picture category start to finish in a, you know, 24 hour. I don't know how many hours it took us to do it, but they had a 15 minute potty break in between each movie and then started the next movie up. So you started on Saturday evening, watched.
They started in the night too.
Yeah. Started Saturday evening. Let's see. Let me rethink this. Now, I guess we started Saturday morning, went all the way through Saturday into the night, and it ended like Sunday morning.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That sounds.
It was amazing.
Was it good?
It's a marathon. It was amazing. I mean, I had already
kind of like a downer marathon.
Well, but I had pre-picked. Yeah, because they're all kind of. I had pre-picked the shows I was going to sleep through.
Oh, okay. Oh, sure. Yeah.
I mean that I was. You know that I.
Well, and hopefully they stagger them that way too. Yeah.
You'd hope so. Best live action short film, Feeling Through the Letter Room, The Present, Two Distant Strangers, White Eye.
I don't know.
I actually don't either. Yeah. I will say The Present.
Okay. But have you watched any of these?
I haven't seen any of these, no.
All right. So we're all flying blind on that one.
Do you ever watch the shorts, Chris?
Afterwards, sometimes they'll put them out.
Okay. After you see who wins.
Yeah. I'm told who's the best.
I watch some of the shorts every year.
That's good.
Best animated short film. Do we even want to cover this category?
I actually might know this one.
All right. Okay. Burrow, Genius, is it Lochi? If Anything Happens, I Love You, Opera, and Yes People.
I think it's the If Anything Happens, I Love You.
That's right. Now I remember. Do you know what that one's about?
I just know it's kind of sad.
It sounds
I haven't watched
sad.
It. Yeah,
the title
it does.
Sounds
I watched Burrow.
I did too. That's a fun one.
That was fun. But yeah, that's the one I think. Yeah.
And the experts have weighed in. And oftentimes these are, some of them are kind of funny. Best Original Song, Fight For You, Hear My Voice, Hasavik, Losin, or Speak Now.
Do you know what movies are those from?
Okay, so Fight For You, Judas and the Black Messiah, Hear My Voice, The Trial of the Chicago Seven, Hasavik, Eurovision Song Contest, The Story of Fire Saga.
I actually think that's the one that's going to win.
That's the one that I was reading. People hope that one wins, but I would be surprised. That's the Will Ferrell one.
It's probably the one from Judas and the Black Messiah one.
But I actually think the Speak Now from One Night in Miami. I think that's the favorite.
Because Leslie Odom Jr. sings it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're so generic sounding, though. Like, those All are, like, them. Songs that you would, like, as a joke, you would submit, like, to win the Oscar. I hope it's Eurovision. It's probably, yeah, you're probably right.
Okay. We're not doing best sound. We're not doing best production design because we're running out of time because we've had way too much fun here. And so we're going to skip to best original screenplay. Judas and the Black Messiah, Minari, Promising Young Women, Sound of Metal, The Trial of Chicago 7.
Promising Young Women, I think. It's my pick.
Okay.
Mine too. It won the WGA award. But here's the thing. Minari wasn't nominated in the WGA. But also I think Sorkin is really beloved by the Oscars. He's only won one for The Social Network. So I think it's kind of a toss up.
But didn't he inherit that script? Like, he didn't come up with it. He inherited it and then he tweaked it.
Yeah. Okay. I still
The Trial of the Chicago 7 he inherited.
It's been in production mess for a long time. And then finally Netflix and Sorkin.
That's true. It's even gone through a couple different directors,
too. That's the way I want to win Best Original Screenplay. Just have somebody else do most of the work and then step in at the end. And then not even
a few lines.
Yeah, and then not even have their name on it, whoever did all the work.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the kind of win I want to have, right? Okay, Best Adapted Screenplay. We're not going to cover that one.
Well, that one's good, though.
Okay, all right. Well, I will read... Borat subsequent movie film. They don't have the full title here because it is much longer than that.
That's right.
The Father, Nomadland, One Night in Miami, The White Tiger.
Okay. Borat won the WGA, but neither The Father nor Nomadland were nominated. So I think it's going to be The Father.
I would be surprised if Borat won. I mean, like, same with Will Ferrell one. The Academy is really hesitant to award movies like that aren't, like, you know, quote unquote serious movies.
Important movies.
And Sasha Cohen was nominated in another category.
Right.
Which I didn't know it was him when I was watching.
Yeah.
You know, Chicago 7. I didn't know it was him, and I went and looked up. I thought, who is that? I know I've seen him in another production, another film, and sure enough, it was Sacha Baron Cohen. So it's crazy.
Usually, in nominations is as much recognition as movies.
Yeah, they'll toss those out to genre movies, but okay. For the most part, the winners they'll usually give them to movies.
I'm going to skip Best Animated Feature Film. I'm going to skip Best International Feature Film because I served an LDS mission in Indiana. They knew I had no ability to learn a language, so that I'm skipping that category.
Still bitter.
Still bitter. I'm still bitter and not any better at learning a language. Best Documentary Feature, Collective, Crip Camp, The Mole Agent, My Octopus Teacher, and Time.
My Octopus Teacher, right?
Yeah, so I've seen a lot of people saying that one, like, so we'll get more into this when we talk about Best Picture, but going off of the what we were talking about earlier about the Academy Awards kind of reflecting our cultural moment and like sometimes even the general feeling kind of in the country, I'm leaning more towards the movies that are more optimistic and hopeful, and Time is another one that has won other awards. It's a real downer. It's really good and really important, but again, it's pretty heavy. Whereas My Octopus Teacher is good and it has some good themes, but it's ultimately very hopeful. And so I think that's why more people are picking it to win.
That's a good point. I mean, we've been through a pretty non-hopeful time,
right?
The last couple of years, but and then we'll go to Best Documentary Short Subject, Colette. A concertino, a concerto is a conversation. Do Not Split, Hunger Ward, A Love for Latasha.
I have not seen any of those.
Okay, all right. Well, then we'll skip over it. All right, now to the big ones.
All right.
We'll reserve the best four for the very end, but Best Supporting Actor, Sacha Baron Cohen, Daniel Kaluuya, Leslie Odom Jr., Paul Raci, Lakeith Stanfield, what do you think?
I'm going with Daniel Kaluuya. I know some people are picking Leslie Odom Jr., but my personal pick is Daniel Kaluuya.
And that's Judas and the Black Messiah.
Yeah, he plays Fred Hampton.
Okay.
I would think that would be the good choice because he won the Screen Actors Guild.
Right.
However, Lakeith Stanfield, they're both in Judas and the Black Messiah. It's kind of a weird like little bit of category fraud because they're both supporting actor, but I wonder if they might split a vote and you might have someone else like Paul Raci from Sound of Metal pull ahead.
Who's been, you know, lifelong character actor.
And this might be like the narrative behind him actually winning might be, I don't know. It should be Daniel probably, but I could see them splitting the vote by people really liking both of those performances and not really knowing who.
Well,
to
I'm just happy that Leslie Odom Jr. can actually be known for something else other than being in Hamilton.
Right.
So
that's
I'm
a pretty
grateful
good thing
that
to be known for.
Yeah,
though.
I know, but I'm grateful he's able to have a movie.
He's
movie
diversifying.
Role. Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. Best Supporting Actress, and this one I thought was fascinating: Maria Bakalova. I think Bakalova,
yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Baklava. That awful that I said that. Borat, subsequent movie film, Glenn Close, Hillbilly Elegy, Olivia Colman, The Father, Amanda Seyfried. Seyfried, Mank, and help me with Minari.
Yun Yu Jung.
What's your guess on this one?
This is another interesting
It is. This is probably the weirdest one.
So, Yun Yu Jung won the Screen Actors Guild.
Yes.
And so by those, we mapped it out. And it was like 80% or 90% of the time, whoever wins Screen Actors Guild goes on to win the Oscar. But Glenn Close has famously never won.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And, so
it would suck if she won for this one, though, for Hillbilly Elegy.
It's a bad movie.
Okay.
The other weird thing is she is also running against Olivia Colman. And the last time people really thought Glenn Close was going to win was for The Wife 2 years ago, and Olivia Colman beat her, and it was like a surprise because Glenn Close won the SAG award. She was like the award's favorite that year. So this one's weird because they could be like, we should give it to Glenn Close. It's not important what she got it for, that just that she has won. Anyway, I don't know what will happen with that one.
That one will be exciting, but my pick is Yoon Yoo Jung.
Yeah. Okay. If I had gun to my head, that's the one.
Okay. Now we're going to go rapid fire through these, and we're going to start with best director, which is the, in my mind, least of the mighty four.
I would say
here.
That's number two.
You'd say it's number two?
I do a little bit.
Yeah. What do you say is number one?
Best picture.
Best picture?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we can all agree on best picture. Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right. Okay. But all right. Best director. So another round, Thomas Vinterberg, Mank, David Fincher. Did I say that correctly?
You did.
Minari, Lee Isaac Chung, Nomadland, Chloe Zhao. Okay. Or Promising Young Women, Emerald Fennell.
Yes.
I think Chloe Zhao's taking this one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, really? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay. So then let's go to Best Actor. For Sound of Metal, Riz Ahmed. For Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Chadwick Boseman, who's deceased, right?
Yes.
The Father, Anthony Hopkins. Mank, Gary Oldman. And Minari, Steven Yeun.
Chadwick Boseman's going to take this one.
He will, for sure.
He's won all of the awards leading up to this, and it's posthumous, so.
Yeah, and it's a really good performance. The only one he didn't win was the BAFTA, which went to Hopkins, but they kind of skew towards international stars anyway.
And British.
Okay, all right. Specifically. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Best Actress, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, Viola Davis, The United States versus Billie Holiday, Andra Day, Pieces of a Woman, Vanessa Kirby, Nomadland, Frances McDormand, or Promising Young Woman, Carey Mulligan.
This is another kind of weird category. Like, there's not a clear front runner. They've kind of been split all over the place.
Yeah, like a bunch of them have all won pretty prestigious awards leading up to this. I think it will be Davis, though.
I think that's a safe bet.
But it could be Carey Mulligan. But she's young. They might be
You're
like...
You're really helping Doug Wright right now. I mean, on, wow, so definitive.
I'm going to go with Davis, too. Some people are picking Frances McDormand.
Oh, she just won one.
But she just won, and last time she won, she kind of scolded the voters and was like, let's get some new people in here. Like, you don't... Stop voting for me, kind of thing.
Oh, so yeah. That's true. That's such a... Oh, please, stop voting for me. I know you love me, but stop voting for me. Okay, best picture. The Father, Judas and the Black Messiah, Mank, Minari, Nomadland, Promising Young Women, Sound of Metal, The Trial of the Chicago 7.
So my pick is Minari, and that's what I'm going with.
Oh, wow. Chris, bold prediction, and?
Well, I think it'll be Nomadland.
Okay.
But, see, this is kind of what I was talking about before, that, like, Minari is a much more hopeful and, like, optimistic movie, and so I think... That'll sway some people. I would not be surprised if it's Nomadland, but that's just kind of what. Because they're going to give Zhao the director, best director. And so
two out of three times, it's the same director wins best picture, too. Yeah. Here's the thing that looks weird about best picture that's different from the voting in all other categories is it's ranked choice. So that's how you end up with,
this is ranked choice voting? See, it ties into politics.
Exactly.
Here again.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We're big proponents of ranked choice voting. So that's why, you have, Green Book win in a year where no one really wanted Green Book to win. Like, a lot of times, things will split the vote, and, things in the middle will rise to the top. That's why I could even see something weird like The Trial of the Chicago 7, which no one has really strong feelings about, but no one doesn't dislike either, kind of like being in the center and rising to the top. Because I feel like there's not a clear momentum behind one. Like, clearly that movie will win, but it will likely be Nomadland or Minari, but they could split the vote and you can have a really weird one. That's why Best Picture can be a real wild card where you're like, I don't know what's going
to
happen.
Well, here's what we're going to do for the listeners of Stokes and Folks. Is they're going to email their best picture award winner, their best director, best actor, best actress to sfolkspod@gmail.com, sfolkspod@gmail.com. And if we have whoever wins, we're going to send a $50 gift card to Theater of my selection. and I have one special theater that you'll get a $50 gift card to. And if there's a tie, I might even, you know, throw it out. But this is going to be a hard one to win, because clearly the two experts here, Chris and Jason, could not pick. Now, as we head into the finals here, to the final few days, what movie that's either been nominated in any category would you say you most enjoyed and think people need to absolutely go watch? So even if it wasn't nominated for Best Picture, it was nominated for one of the other categories that you've seen, that you enjoyed, that you think folks should go watch.
Well, this might not be a surprise, but I'm going to stick with Minari. That local tie is cool and fun. The director was at the University of Utah, but it is, it's emotional. It, I think, is a very good portrayal of the modern American dream, and all the acting is great, and ultimately you're going to leave the movie feeling good, which I think is important.
I agree. It's a great one. Jason.
I would actually say Minari as well, but just for the sake of saying something different, I'll say The Father. It's the opposite, where you will feel very, very down afterwards and maybe like take some time afterwards to kind of sit with your feelings a little bit. But it is a very interesting movie. It's constructed in a way that really puts you in a specific experience of understanding what it's like to basically have Alzheimer's. And it could be maybe a little triggering for people who are either, you know, worried about aging themselves or going through that with another family member. But it is a very unique experience that really, it's very emotional, and it's incredible performances, probably some of the best performances I've ever seen. It's truly a wonderful movie.
And I'm going to say The Trial of the Chicago 7, and mainly because I feel like it, for everything that's gone on in the past 18 months, it really is something that will make you think of, look, this is 1968. Here we are in 2021, and what kind of strides have we made in that length of time? So thank you so much, Chris Hodgson, for joining us, and Jason Bishop. You can read Jason's reviews at UtahPoliticalUnderground.com. This has been another episode of Stokes and Folks. Make sure you like us and subscribe, and also, hey, give us a comment if you liked the show. If you didn't, go rank something else. We'll see and listen and hear you next week.